In our modern 21st century society, you know, we all have become very time orientated, all right, in our lives. Technology has become really so advanced in so many different ways that we expect everything to happen now. We expect everything to happen fast. And we want answers and we want solutions to various problems to be right at our fingertips and at the press of a button. Have you found in your life that you are in such a hurry? There seems to be so much to do, and days don't get any longer, do they? They still stop at 24 hours. And we expect things to happen now. All right? When we order things, I was actually just reflecting on the things connected with time. Over the last few years, lots and lots of people are ordering Christmas presents online. All right? And when we order things online on the internet, some companies like Amazon, they promise the same day delivery if you order before noon. Imagine that. As long as you get it in before noon. If you can't wait till the next day. It can be there for a price. And then the kinds of delivery vans. Yodel. Anyone seen Yodel vans? We've got FedEx vans. You know what that stands for? It comes from America. Federal Express. They want to throw out there into society. We do it fast. So kind of use us. There are other time-saving devices and products as well. Fast food. You don't even have to get out of your car. Really. You can drive by. Where? See? Matt, don't you know where those places are? Drive by. You don't even have to get out of your car. All right? Microwave food. You can cook food in minutes that used to take hours. All right? So you don't have to think about it, do you? Planning. Some types of rice. Do you know the shortest time? You can get it in packets. 1 minute. You can actually get 1 minute rice. All right? Then, and we'll be having some afterwards. Coffee. It's called instant coffee. What do you need? Hot water. All right. You don't have to go through all the process of, unless you want a real cup of coffee. All right. Then there's other things. If you want to get somewhere quick in your car and you're going at some distance, what do you use? The motorways. In places like Europe and in the States, what do they call them? Freeways or expressways. This whole idea of time. And then, if you need a loan and you go online, so many people want instant approval. And we expect it to come through. But on the other hand, you know, we don't like delays. And if you and I have to wait for things, how does it make you feel? Be honest. Irritated. That's the word I have here. All right. I feel irritated if I've got to wait. If I go to the doctors or the dentist, and I've got to wait. Have you ever looked round in a waiting room? It is actually amazing. If you try and engage people in conversation, that's what I try and tend to do. I usually take a book to read, but I thought I'm going to try and meet a few people here. And the number of, you can get into all kinds of conversations. If we're not careful, we allow delays to ruin your day. Has that ever happened to you? It ruins your day if things don't happen when they're supposed to happen. I wonder whether that's kind of happened to you. Now, delays. What is a delay? Right. It's when something doesn't happen according to our time scale. That's a delay. Right? That's a delay. And, you know, it can happen in our spiritual lives as well. And today, I want us to think about God's divine delays. What are they all about? And do we find examples in the scriptures? What is a godly divine delay? Well, it's a delay with a godly purpose in a godly perspective. All right? That's a godly delay. And that, like I said, that's what I want us to think about. And we'll be looking into a lovely passage, a lovely story in the book of Acts, chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1. In chapter 2, the early church encountered the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on the back of that, Peter went out, preached a mighty sermon. And if you look right at the end of Acts chapter 2, what sorts of figures are given concerning those who found Jesus? What does it say? How many? About three. Pardon? 3,000 got saved. And so, straight after that, we move into Acts chapter 3. And if we I just want us to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were coming up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. That's a good time for a prayer meeting, isn't it? Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So there's the story, Acts chapter 3. And it's all about a story about a man. True story, I believe it's true. And this man, what was his problem? He was lame from birth. Lame from birth. And when other babies took their first steps, lovely, see, I love watching little Leo pray. He was using these. in his way of praising God. And he was there. And then he thought, ooh, electricity. And I watched his grandma. And I thought, yeah. I see, I can say it because he's not here. Isaac was oblivious. But it was his nana who actually... So when other babies took their first steps, the lame man didn't, because he was lame from birth. And when other kids later on were running and playing, he couldn't, because he was lame. And when other teenagers began to work in the fields and do jobs as they did, he wasn't able to help. Why? Because he was lame. And then as a grown man, when he couldn't do what was needed, you know, to support himself because of his condition, he couldn't. And he became a poor man. He became a beggar. And we read that he sat at the gate called Beautiful at the temple. And then there's that lovely old English word that's translated in here. He was asking people for alms. Not those. It's called a homophore. Same pronunciation, different spelling, different meaning. He actually was asking for money or food. One day, when he least expected it, he met these two men, Peter and John. And they would point him to the one, Jesus, who would change his life forever. All right? Many times we find ourselves in need of a miracle. Have you ever found yourself in need of a miracle? What do? We might act a little like spoilt children before the Lord. Why do I say that? Well, we say to God, I want a miracle, I need a miracle in my life, and I want it now. My daughter, Laura, Lynn knows where I'm going from here. Grandparents are great, but they spoil kids sometimes. We spoil ours to death. Okay? And I remember when my Laura was only 3 years old, and she went just for the day to stay with Lynn's mum and dad, her grandparents. The following day, it was time for bed. And Laura said, I want a drink of water and I want it now. Wow, that was like a red flag. I wonder whether your kids do that. I want something and I want it now. You know, in the Christian life, it doesn't take long for us to learn and to realize that irrespective of our impatience with God, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. And he does it in his own time. To quote Isaiah, his wonders to perform. He does it in his ways and he does it in his time. More often than not, it's according to God's time. And through this message about this lame man, this is what I'm hoping that we will see. We will see the importance of trying to see God's perspective on things and God's time scale through his eyes at these times. And that there are times when we need to wait on and for the Lord's time. All my devotions for the last 2 to 3 weeks have been entitled really waiting on God, waiting for God. And I am beginning to realize what a joy there is waiting on God. Waiting for God we don't like. Waiting on God is what we're called to do. All right? Waiting on God. And I hope that will see the importance of that and the necessity of that. Now, today I've got 6 points. Hey! All right, 6 points. Some brief, some not so brief. Okay? The first thing I want us to think about this story, in Acts chapter 3, is that at some time in our lives, we ask for God for something that is very, very hard for us. That we ask God for an impossibility. We ask God for a miracle. And we either ask God for a miracle for ourselves or a miracle for other people. Have you done that? Yeah, there's these two different kinds, and miracles come in all shapes and sizes, just like people, all shapes and sizes. And I'm sure every one of us here has needs and wants and desires. We all have them. And it would be great if we had time to say, what? Tell me one need, one desire. One want that you have at this moment in time. I believe today, here, that there are people here who need a miracle from God. Why am I saying that? Because as I've been praying about it, and why God led me to this particular passage, because I sensed amongst us there is a need. There are needs for a miracle in our lives from God. And it's so urgent because there's nothing else you can do. We don't ask for a miracle unless we can sort it ourselves. If we can sort it, we sort it. But if we can't sort it, if it's beyond us, it's a miracle that we need. Now, as I said, the miracle could be for yourself. I want to say this morning, God will give you a miracle. It is not wrong to pray for yourself. To pray for God to touch your life and give you a miracle. It's not wrong to pray for other people or also. Now, let's have a look in the passage. Verses 1 to 3. Here we read that they went up to the temple, Peter and John, at the hour of prayer. And there they met this man. And he had a need. It said he was lame from his mother's womb. And it was interesting. It tells you such a lot in this story. He was carried. And I asked, who carried him? But he was carried to the Gate Beautiful. Every day. And he went asking for alms from everyone and anyone who went in the temple. Have you ever met anyone begging for money? Yeah? I met two last Saturday morning. I nipped out to do some photocopying while the training was on. And the first man I met was actually setting up in the centre of Blackburn with his guitar to actually he's busking, all right, nearly there, and he was going to busk for money. And I must have looked like a giver. And he came to me and I said, you know, I haven't had any food today and I'm going to busk for some money. And I said, well, you know, we're going to be having lunch. Just go down there, because it was right in front of BHS. Just go down there, and around there, about 12 o'clock, we're going to be having a brought-in meal at lunchtime. You'd be very welcome. In fact, I'll look out for you. And so I went on my way. Over to the Beacon Centre, over to here. And on the way, I met, actually, there was an Asian man. Just coming round the corner. And he made a beeline right for me. And he actually said, I haven't had a drink this morning. I haven't had a drink. And I got my little purse out. I took out my thing that wasn't money. It was the thing that I put in the baskets. I couldn't use that. But I tipped the rest of the money out of my little purse, all my loose change. And I tipped it into his hand and said, this is yours. But, so, because I was in a hurry, otherwise I would have taken him in. All right, into a cafe and bought him a drink. And I said, there you go. You know, God bless you. Told him about the meal on Saturday lunchtime. I never thought anything of it until I began this week to reflect about this passage. I'd met some people asking for alms. How did I react? How do you react? How do you react when people come? Being lame, this man being lame, was an issue that greatly affected every part of his life. There are some things in life that do that. They affect every part of our lives. And I believe today some people here are facing certain issues, certain sicknesses, certain circumstances, and they're having a tremendous impact upon your life. Perhaps you're facing a situation in your life where it seems to you there's no hope without a miracle. There's no hope. And your greatest desire, your greatest need, as it were, at this moment in time, is for God to come to you and work a miracle in your life. Now, you know that. Whether that's what you need, what you desire. And I pray that today, the story about this man might encourage you to ask God for faith for that miracle. The interesting thing about this story is this. This man got a lot more than what he asked for. He just asked for a few alms. He asked for a bit of a loose change. And what did God do? He did a major change, a transformation on his life. But he didn't know it was going to happen on that day. So that's the first thing. We ask for impossibilities, for miracles. And the second thing is this. Within this man, within this lame man in the story, not only do we see a need and a desire, but we also see that there was a delay. A delay in him experiencing it and receiving it. Now you might ask, well, what kind of delay did he have? Well, when was he lame? When was he lame? From birth. So he'd lived all his life out being lame. There was a delay. And people carried him. And he'd endured this for all of his life. He struggled through his life from birth. And that could be you today. That could be you today. You put up with something for years and years and years. And if we're not careful, we accept everything. Because we don't believe things can change. Now, today, you might not need physical healing. But you might need mental healing. You might need psychological healing. And you might need emotional healing. Healing it. And all those areas you might be, or one of those, or two of those, you might be carrying with you through your life, day after day after day, and it's taking its toll upon you. And what happens? What happens when delays happen? We get irritated. But you know, the longer we experience it, we become depressed. We become, you might even begin to feel a little bit lost. I'm alone. You might even begin to feel, God has abandoned me. Because I've asked, but he's not done anything, it seems. And so, has God abandoned me? We get frustrated. We get discouraged. And then, ultimately, what happens? We get angry at God. We get angry at God. And that leads me to my next point. I told you some of them were short. Okay. Thirdly, delayed miracles then can cause disappointments in our lives. Where did this happen, this miracle? Where? At the temple. How did he get there? His friends carried him to the temple. And I thought, what great friends he had. They carried him to the temple. Imagine somebody in Blackburn. And he goes, he wants to be taken to the cathedral. And he's got to get there. And imagine people come to his house and take him. We'll take you and we'll put you there 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And then we'll come and collect you at night. He must have had really quite compassionate friends. But you see, that was all they could do. They could take him to the gate, beautiful. And that's all that they could do. Now, I thought about where was he placed geographically, but where was he placed in terms of the kingdom? Here, this man. At this point in history, Jesus had only just ascended. Now, it's Acts chapter 3. Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out, Acts chapter 2, and then straight in to Acts chapter 3. It wasn't long before Jesus had ascended into heaven, right? During his earthly ministry, Jesus had walked and talked and ministered and healed people all over that area. And it got me thinking, maybe this man might have heard about Jesus and the miracles that Jesus had done. Lynn only read today from Mark chapter 5 when we were at home, how Jesus went everywhere healing people. Every kind of person. He was healing them. And maybe this man might have heard about the miracles that Jesus had done. Maybe he'd heard about the time when Jesus spat on the ground in the mud and put it on a person who was blind upon his eyes. And what happened? He could see. He received his sight. There was a time when somebody was deaf, was brought to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He stuck his finger in his ear, it says. And the man began to hear. Now, I'm not saying go round, start sticking fingers in people's ears. Oh, that's the only way that Jesus did it. No, it isn't. But maybe he'd heard that. Maybe he'd also heard, interesting one, about the centurion who came to Jesus, and he had a servant who was sick. And he came to Jesus asking Jesus to heal him. And Jesus, he actually said to Jesus, told him all about his servant. And so you get the idea that Jesus starts to follow this centurion. And what does the centurion say? No, you don't need to. I'm a man of authority, just like you. And I can see in you an authority. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And as the centurion sets off, somebody else comes and meets with him. And he realizes it was at the time. And his servant was healed. Maybe he'd heard about that. Wow, Jesus doesn't even need to be here to heal. Just imagine. I was Lynn and I were thinking about this whole idea of healing. And I thought this morning, hey, I could get up, I could walk into the centre of Leyland and say, be healed! If I was Jesus. but he didn't do that. He could do that, but he didn't. Because it's got to be accompanied with faith from somebody to heal. And he does it one by one, all in tens. Because that's another story. Maybe he'd heard about the lepers, the 10 lepers. What do you remember about the leper story? You remember the one who came back and said thank you. Jesus just said, be healed. At the sound of his voice, it says, they were healed. He wasn't bothered about whether they came back and said thank you or not. He didn't sort of pull back the healing from the other 9 because they didn't come back. But he healed them. And then there's the woman. 12 years. And she, what did she say? If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she was. And Jesus said, who's touched me? And so on. I could go on and on and on about these miracles that Jesus had performed when he was on the earth. Perhaps this lame man had heard about them. And maybe he'd become resentful. Why do you think? With all these miracles of healing in this area, why was I left out? Why was I left out? Why did he never come to the temple, the gate beautiful? Because I'm here. All right? Now you might be thinking the same right after the hots. We saw people healed. Quite dramatically, we saw people healed. And I believe that there's going to be people come back who actually were prayed for and we didn't see healing, who are being or on the road to healing. Because as Mark said, God heals instantaneously. God can heal gradually. And I think we're going to see some graduals. I believe that. And people, we're going to see them again on the healing on the streets. Or they might come to the church, the Christmas celebration. Because that's what God does. Because that's what God does. But you might have longed for God to move in your life for a long time. You've prayed for it yourself. You've asked God. You've come out and asked people to pray for you. But no change. No change. How do you feel? You see, what happens is you look round. Why are they getting healed? And not me. Not me. You trust God. You've called out upon God. You're pleading with them. And then you might get to the point, I'm wasting my time. It's not working. And this delayed healing might have caused you great disappointment, even resentment begins to form. But it can move on from resentment. Do you know where that goes? It goes to doubt. Can God do it? Doubt is sitting on the fence. You're convinced and you can move to doubt. And doubt can fall back to belief or to unbelief. And that can happen. And so delayed miracles can cause doubts in people's minds. Now you would never, and I would never maybe admit to people, that's where I'm at. Because we think it's not spiritual to acknowledge that before people. But we might feel like that. We might feel weak and weary. And we might begin to get a bit angry at God. And I'm just throwing it out. Is that anybody here today? Are you there? Have your doubts moved to anger? But I want to say that there's hope, real hope, in this story. You see, through the story of this lame man being healed, God doesn't act when the man wanted him to. And you might, God doesn't always act when you and I want him to. But that doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. God always has a plan and a reason for the struggles in the lives of his children. He always does. And you may ask God for a miracle today. And that's where I'm going today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite people, if they feel they need a mighty movement of God, I'm going to invite people to come out at the end of this preach to be prayed for. You may ask God for a miracle today, and you may receive it, and you may not. But there may come a day when you least expect it that God turns up. When God does something, he does a miracle, and it's amazing in your life. This leads me on to point five. And it's this. In God's timing, there is a certain time. And today might be your time to be healed by God. Think, you know, for a moment. This man was placed at the gate beautiful that morning. And it was going to be an ordinary morning for this man. I'm going to get some money, hopefully. But something wonderful, a miracle happened. You see, all that day kind of went through, has been through my mind all week. He just wanted a little bit of loose change. And God says, through Peter and John, no, I'm going to change you. He got something greater than what he asked for. Now, you may want God to do something very specific in your life. And I would say to you, make sure you've asked God about this. Because God might have something else up his sleeve for you. All right? God's miracle depends upon God and his will. The last point. We're here. The last thing. Now, if you look into verses 7 through 11 in this passage, I'm going to share something with you that might shock you about this passage. And it's this. The great lesson in this story is not so much about the actual miracle of healing of this lame man. So what is it? It's what happened after the miracle that is absolutely fantastic. What happened after the miracle? What was the motivation? What was the purpose for this miracle? What happened? This miracle brought glory to God. It did. It brought glory to God. How? Well, it says everyone who was present at the temple that day, what did they know? They knew this man. The lame man. They knew him. They'd seen him daily. They might have even been some of those who'd given him a bit of loose change from time to time. Or they could have been part of those who ignored him. But they knew who this man was. And they expected him to be lame. And it says, he began to walk. And then he began to leap. And then he began to praise God. And it said, they were amazed. They were amazed. And it says, they were filled with wonder and amazement. So other people were amazed, not just this man at the healing, but they were filled with wonder and amazement. Everyone who knew this man knew that a miracle had just happened. And they gathered together, it said, at Solomon's porch in great wonder. And the crowds gathered. And what did Peter do? He began to preach. He preached salvation. And in verse 19, it says, this is what he said. Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be blotted out. I'm reading from probably ESV version here. It says, that times of refreshing might come to you from the presence of the Lord, and that he might send Christ Jesus into your life. Peter used this, and people got saved. People got saved. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus. Because I want to give you the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus personally, that's one of the greatest miracles that God can perform. He can give you believing faith. And Jesus was presented to the people. You know the Jesus that you rejected? You know the Jesus that you mocked? The Jesus that you crucified? And the Jesus who was resurrected? Well, he was the one who healed this man. And I believe that was the real purpose for this miracle. And it was faith in Jesus that made these miracles possible. Now, I believe God can still perform miracles today. And I believe that God can perform miracles here amongst us today. And I go a little bit further. I believe God wants to perform miracles here today. I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. We sang about that this morning. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I believe that God gives us, his people, his power and his authority to heal in his name. I believe that. And I believe that Jesus can and that Jesus does heal through his people. And he gives us faith in order to enable us to do that. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can use you to bring healing to people this morning? Yeah? Could you pray that for people this morning? Because it's not us who heal. It is the authority that God has given us to pray for people for his and their healing. And I want to, as we're going to sing a final chorus or choruses today, I just want to invite you this morning. If you want God, you need God to perform a miracle. Whatever that is in your life, first we'll need to check it out. Winning the lottery is not one of those options, okay? But if you really feel, I need God to move in my life for where I'm at. If you're feeling dead and weary and verging on sitting on the fence, doubting, do I go one way to unbelief or to belief? You can ask God, Lord, tip the balance for me. Give me faith. So as we're singing, Steve, if you want to come out, you and Lynn now, we're going to sing, and I want you to reflect in your life. Do you need a miracle from God? If you want a miracle from God for somebody else that you know they need a touch from God, Mark shared about us praying, being prayed for in their place. to be a proxy for them. And we can do that on their behalf. And then we go back looking for God to have worked in their life. And hopefully to be able to share. All right? So as we are singing, I want to, it's not a challenge. Are you hungry enough? Not yes for yourself, but for others. For them to know Jesus. Come, and then we're going to have a time of praying. And maybe we might need to swap, and somebody else might need to, who's been praying, sit down and somebody else prays for them. But I believe God wants to move. But where does it start? We've been praying on the streets, but it begins in here as well. Okay? So let's be ready.